and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammer lock.
You've made it to another edition of Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am Chris Things Brian, your host of this fun, silly little thing. You've made it to, a bit of a special episode. Two things here. We've got our regularly scheduled match of the week coming up that I'll be having my dear friend Bradley on to talk all about a tremendous G1 climax match that was Gabe Kidd versus Zack Sabre Jr. from around the middle of the G1, but man, the more I watch this match, the more I love it. But we'll be talking to Brad a little bit later on all about that, all about a bit more of the G1 as well. I watched a lot of this G1 with Brad, so I thought it was appropriate to have him on to chat about it. So we've got that coming up. This episode as well, extra special, because it comes just after last night. I had our second ever wrestling club with Chris Things. This was such a nice night. The follow-up to the first one that we had at Brewski was also the last ever one at Brewski, so a little bit somber there, but I have hope that the vibes were so good that I think this wrestling club has got to continue onwards up and on into the future. So later on in the show, following this intro monologue, actually, I'll have a little bit of a live audio from the evening for you. A little bit of live podcasting. it was fun. That was fun. There's a thing where you sort of have like the nerves with like a group of people like that, but I felt good about it. I think everyone, the community element of this wrestling club thing that I'm trying to build is really kind of like paying off. I think everyone's kind of vibing together in a really fun way, and it was just again a really, really wholesome night. As you'll hear, we actually had I bloody love when we get groups of people come in, just wander on in late to the wrestling club and be like, what the heck is this? What is a wrestling club? What is wrestling for that matter? and then really kind of dig it. It's another fun eclectic kind of playlist that I put together on this one. I'll be sharing that playlist with you all in the near future. So if you make sure you are signed up to my newsletter on the contact page of christhings.com.au, I'll include that in this week's newsletter, as well as all the match links, so you can watch it at your own leisure if you would like. Real fun. I think I mentioned I wanted to get to some stuff that I didn't in the past, but I'll talk about that in my little live intro thing that I'll include on here, so I won't get too bogged down with that. But yeah, it was just a really nice night, the timing of it was kind of funny because it came just after my last trip to Sydney. It's another one of those things where I'm going all around, traveling all over Australia, hawking my wares however I can. For these wrestling club things, I have all my art set up on the walls and available to purchase, and from time to time people make purchases, so thank you very much to everyone there who came along to wrestling club. Thank you to those of you who financially supported the things. No pressure for anyone to do that, by the way. That's not why I do this, but I do want you to know, I do very much appreciate the people that do. The timing of it was sort of came right after this Sydney thing, where I went down for the Sydney Lucha Fantastica show, which was an awesome show. I got my dear buddy Josh, one of my best mates for many, many years, who's been on this show as well. He did the Black Tiger Eddie Guerrero versus Dean Malenko episode, if you ever want to check that out in the archives. That was a very fun show. But yeah, it was a super nice weekend, just getting to like spend some dude time together. So I really enjoyed that element of it. The show itself was great. Two bloody sold out shows. I got to meet some great people. I got to bunch of people supported. Got to get to check out an amazing, hilarious, super entertaining Mexican wrestling show that is the Lucha Fantastic Experience. We got the next one coming up this Saturday in Brisbane. But yeah, like the one thing of it was so this is probably me peeling back the curtain a little bit. And part of me is like, I probably shouldn't say this kind of thing on the show, but then other part of me, it's like, I think it's important to be honest. And so for this show, based on previous ones and the different things like that, and especially, when you have expenses for travel and all this kind of stuff, you kind of set yourself, for what I'm doing at the moment, trying to do this art thing full time, you set yourself kind of like goals and expectations, I guess, of financially how it's going to go. And as I said, super, super appreciative of everyone that supported. I want you all to know I'm very, very grateful for that. But to be honest, like overall, the numbers were a bit lower than what I was kind of like expecting for myself. And that's kind of hard, I don't know whether it's me personally being like someone with the ADD and a bit of sort of rejection sensitive dysphoria, I think they call it, or whether that's like a thing that a lot of artists kind of share. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves, I think. So then when something sort of maybe doesn't meet expectations a little bit, we can take it really hard. And I thought that'd be an interesting thing to talk about here, I did, to be honest. Like, there was a little bit of me, with all the pressure of wanting to do this full time, setting myself goals of what I need as, weekly income for this to be viable going forward. And when it's a little bit, less than that, I actually was sad, to be honest. So it is just a thing of like picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, and keep moving forward. Like there's little things that I think maybe we should tweak. So I'm trying to take that kind of thing as maybe this is a bit of a constructive kind of lesson. What things can I take away from it? Maybe I need some more lower price point things that could do well. So I've got some little things that I've got in the pipeline that'll be all ready to introduce for this Saturday's Lucha Fantastica show. So I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, I think that overall it was such a nice timing thing for this wrestling club deal to happen when it did, because it really kind of like picked me up. And feeling like the love and the community vibe of everyone having a really nice time, this silly thing that I'm doing, and everyone's coming along and supporting and hanging out together, and yeah, it meant a lot. So yeah, this is my long-winded way of saying I really appreciate everyone here and everyone's support. And yeah, I guess the message here of this TED talk is, you're gonna have bumps in the road where things might not meet what you were hoping for, but that's okay, and these things happen, and you just have to keep moving forward, try not to take it too hard, if there are any lessons to be learnt, maybe see what you can get from that, but keep on going. And that goes for whatever you're doing, you know, art-wise, whether that's something as little as, you know, like a social media post or whatever, that you know, might not have done great, or whether, you know, you're putting yourself out there and you're doing shows and something might not sell, or all sorts of stuff. Like, this sort of art life, I think the hardest part is if you take, you know, those sort of perceived rejections really hard, it's painful. It can be really painful, but you have to, I guess, focus on positivity. And, you know, things like, for me at least, you know, at these shows, remind myself that, like, man, it might not have done as, you know, the sales numbers that you might have expected, but you still had so many amazing people come along and buy your art and say some absolutely wonderful, lovely things, you know, and at the end of the day, I got to spend some good quality time with one of my best friends in the whole world. So, yeah, I think there's, if you want to look at things a bit more optimistically, there's always positivity to be found. So yeah, that's it. I'm very excited now for the next Lucha Fantastica show this Saturday in Brisbane. So anyone who wants to come along to that, we've got a family show, we've got an evening adults only raunchy lucha show that is such a great time. I'm excited about it. You know, I think there's a few different friends that might be coming along, so I think it's going to be an excellent night. And yeah, if you guys want to come round, please do come over, let's have a chat. Yeah, I'm stoked. And in terms of Wrestling Club, the Brewski sadly closing down, but I do feel like we're gonna find somewhere new for it, so I'll have some deets of that for you in the near future. But I think that's about it. I think it's enough lollygagging. Let's get ready for some Wrestling Club evening. All right, take it away, Chris from last night. Guys, welcome to Wrestling Club Part 2! That was absurdly loud. There's hundreds of people here. It's a big deal. I appreciate it. No, we're Part 2, so this is kind of cool. Like, Part 2, I think, makes it official, you know? This is an actual thing now. And most of the people from part one are here, so I consider that a success. I really appreciate everyone coming along again. I think, so the deal with, you know, the first one was like, I had to squeeze in, you know, a bunch of, you know, as much as I could. I wanted it to be like, you know, what I said, the weird, wonderful wrestling kind of deal. But there was so much more that I wanted to play, but then, you know, you have time limits and you have to you know, limit it a little bit for the interest of it not going for 6 years. You know, I know for, you know, Mitch with our wrestling hangs, you're always like, Chris, why are you trying to make us watch like 20 matches? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I just... You know,
it's just like 13 hours of wrestling. That's too much.
It's a lot of wrestling. Yeah. So what I'm going for here, we want it bite-sized, but we want it to be fun. So yeah, if I've continued that along tonight, I think we've got a nice bit of fun, eclectic, weird and wonderful jam kind of going on. And yeah, I guess there's some stuff from last time that I looked at the playlist from last time, and I was like, fuck, you know. I'm a bit sad we didn't get to have a bit of this or a bit of that, or, you know, certain things. So tonight, maybe you got some of those things to look forward to. We'll see. I want to keep it as mysterious as possible. I want to make sure we got some surprises here. But yeah, I'm stoked that we get to do this again. You know, I think part of tonight as well is a bit of a fond farewell to Brewski. I love this place. I've been here probably with many of you, you know, over the years, and this place is closing in a bit over a week. So I think this is a nice way to do a little bit of a send off, you know, getting to watch some wrestling here. And then, I mean, it kind of sucks that the original venue for wrestling club closes like two club things in, but I think perhaps there's some future things on the horizon. I want to keep it a little bit mysterious, but yeah, I feel like there's hopefully going to be a bit of life for wrestling club after Brewski. But yeah, I think part of this is I think I'm just soaking up being in Brewski one last time and getting to be here with all of you guys. All right, that's enough lollygagging. Let's bloody get to some wrestling. Yeah. Wrestling club. All right. Thanks, fellas. Thanks, fellas.
All right. So, for those of you playing at home, I thought this might be a good part where I actually let you know what was played on the evening. I didn't do that last time. I thought that might be a good part. Okay. So, the evening started out with a Joshi Classic, Akira Hokuto versus Aja Kong from March 17th of 1991. We then got a Jesse the Body Ventura beer commercial, followed by an amazing Gladiator Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka match from February 18th, 1997 in FMW. We then got Steve Gray versus Iron Fist Clive Myers from late era World Sport. Tremendous match. We then caught a bunch of fabulous ones, incredible stuff, starting out with a wonderful music video. And then we got to see the fabulous ones attacked by the dastardly Moondogs in the studio. And then we got Fabs versus Moondogs from early 1984. We then go over to La Parka and Psychosis versus Ray Ray and Hoovy from Nitro, followed by Maurice Mad Dog Vachon beer commercial, and then finishing it all up with Hayabusa and Masato Tanaka against Terry Funk and Mr. Pogo, exploding barbed wire death match from FMW at Kawasaki Stadium.
All right, are we recording now?
Yeah.
Hey! Okay, so this is the thing I wanted to do last time. We didn't quite get to it because I didn't have the thinking part. But I figured it'd be nice to go around the room and be like, what was the coolest part? You know, what was your favorite matches? Everyone had a different one last time, so I thought that was pretty interesting. We had a little group come in at the end here, who only got to see the delightfulness of the barbed wire death match. So, I mean, do you have any thoughts, guys?
That was my favourite one, for sure.
That was easily in my top five barbed wire exploding death matches that I've ever seen. Thank you.
Delightful.
When you said, Kate, we're watching weird wrestling shit downstairs, do you want to come? You like, didn't let me down.
This makes me very happy. Thanks, guys. Yeah, to me, the idea that is like, you know, for people who haven't watched, you know, all that weird wrestling, that much weird wrestling, that is what you come into and you're like, oh, this is happening.
You're correct. Yeah.
Are you telling me that is not normal?
In my world, that's normal.
The story arc was slightly more complex than you'd normally see.
Yeah.
Because, like, the barbed wire had multiple rungs, and you have to understand each is sort of indicative of a layer of humanity. It's sort of immediately relevant to Dante and the Seventh Layer. Great. But, I mean, like, for an introductory viewing, you did well.
Thank you. I feel this was art. That's what I was aiming for. All right, wonderful. So for the rest of the room, I don't think I can travel much forward to this, so we might have to travel forward if we start on the right and go through. But our favourite match of the evening, I appreciate all of y'all who stayed all the way to the end. You know, we're here on the previous night, you're here on this night. Bloody well, you know, all the way through. Mitch Mitch, what was your favourite match of the evening?
I liked the one that had wrestling in it and not barbed wire nonsense. The two lovely British boys.
Oh, would shake Clive Myers and just, Steve Gray?
Yes, those sound like real names. Mm. Yes, them who just wrestled real tight and nice and good. Mm. Yeah, I like that.
You're
and
a fan
also
of the
Jesse the Body Ventura's beer commercial would be my silver Ooh. Medal match.
Thank you. Thank you. Big fan. Thank you, Mitch. Well, what's next? I don't remember when you walked in, but what was your favourite of what you saw?
The very British match with Ooh. The mismatch between the commentator and the match. It sounded like he was like reading lawn bowls or cricket while there was a wrestling match going on.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, no, never seen a wrestling match like that one. So for something new. Thumbs up.
Amazing! That makes me very happy, because I love the British wrestles, and yeah, the reason I played that, especially after the crazy violent match that was Mike Awesome and Masato Tanaka, was just a really gentlemanly affair, you know, wrestling under the guise of you know, an appreciation of golf. Just a delightful thing. A gentlemanly sport. What is better than that? Alright, so we've got two for Clive Myers versus Steve Gray so far.
Look, I hate to be just a conformist, but the world of wrestling stuff was great. You gave a bit of a hint to me yesterday that might something like that might be on here, and so I was looking forward to it, and then experiencing it, I'm like, yeah, no, that's exactly what I wanted. That was beautiful. I loved it.
Oh my gosh! Wow, Bradley with another one for the world of sport, Clive Myers versus Steve Gray. This is delightful. Everyone, this is telling me, everyone thinks that you want, you know, this aggression and hate in wrestling. Instead, all we want is a gentlemanly sport.
Handshakes, more handshakes.
More handshakes, please. More polite acumen. Why not? Show. Show, what do we got? What do we got?
I'm going to go with the first match, which was the Joshi wrestling one from All Japan Women's.
Fantastic. The Akira Hokuto, Aja Kong.
Perfect. Anyone who thinks that women can't wrestle should watch that match and see just the storytelling, the brutality, the technique. By no notes, it was perfection personified. Oh. I thought it was that or Tanaka second, but that one in particular.
That makes me very happy to hear. Thank you, Joe. I started out with that for a reason, you know, and I said there were some things last week that I missed out on, and you know, one of those things was British wrestling, the other one was amazing women's wrestling, and I fucking love women's wrestling, and I feel like so much of current women's wrestling sucks, and when you say it sucks. People think that you're saying you hate women's wrestling, and that's not the case. It's like, no, this is my expectation, you know? So, yeah, that means a lot. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. What do we got over here? Faz and Melanie?
Oh, yes. It's hard to choose. You gave us a real nice selection. We're very treated, but I would probably have to agree. I think the women's match was very impressive. Both the Japan stuff at the beginning.
Nice, the Aja Kong, Akira Hokuto, and Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Good stuff.
Nice, thanks, man. I appreciate
thanks,
that.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, that is quite lovely. All right, I think that's enough for this segment. Thank you very much, everybody.
Oh, how bloody nice is that? Alright. Such a good night. Thank you, everybody. And now we go on to our match of the week. Goodness. Let's throw over to Chris and Brad in the studio. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I've got our latest match of the week guest on the line, my dear pal Bradley, to talk some G1 action. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be back.
Yes, for sure. And I'm excited to have you back because we, in fact, watched, I would say, majority of the main bits of the G1 together. So I thought this was quite appropriate.
Yeah, there was only a handful of matches, I think, me or you watched outside of our watching together. But our match of the week definitely was together, so should be good.
It was. I was hard-pressed, I think, for this next one, for which one is going to be my match of the week. I think that's going to... I don't even know. I mean, because we you know, after this, we're going to be talking about this the match of the week that was Gabe against Zack Sabre Jr., for the main portion of this, but you know, since that time, we did end up watching the whole conclusion of the G1. So I thought it'd be good to start at the end and then work backwards. Man, that sort of like pointy end of the G1, there was some tremendous stuff, but I'm still a little bit confused as to which was my favorite match of the pointy end of the G1. What do you have a bit more of a firm idea for yourself?
I think so. And this might be as much that I didn't necessarily have the highest expectations for it, so it was like a pleasant surprise for me. But it was the quarterfinal match of Shingo and Great O'Khan.
Ooh, you know, the funny thing about that is I did not expect you to say that. That is the one that I was like tiptoeing around thinking I actually kind of enjoyed that one more than the Zach matches somehow, yeah. Even though the Zach matches were real, real good.
Yeah, for sure. But I think it's just like I'd watched a bunch of Zach matches and I hadn't watched much of O'Khan during the G1, and so I was like just amped up to see him again, and like despite his weird gear, I'm like, he's wrestling. I still really enjoy. So it was just a pleasant surprise. And also, I think if I was to see art from any of like the quarterfinals, semifinals, finals matches, like seeing Great O'Khan art, that just sounds like a delight. So I think that contributes to what I think it would be a nice match of the week.
Okay, I like this. I like potentially giving a match of the week to O'Khan over Tsuji. I'm a big fan of that.
Tsuji's got a whole lot of teeth you'd need to draw to.
Hey, Tsuji is a cool looking cat. He's an interesting looking fellow. I'm not going to take that away from him.
No, I love Tsuji's look, but it's just a lot of tea. That's all it is.
This is true. That final sort of road on the G1 was kind of an interesting one, because if you had asked me early on, then I definitely wouldn't have thought that was it the A block or the B block? I got confused by the blocks anyway. I did not think the final was going to be Tsuji against Finlay. I'll tell you that for the block final on that one.
Yeah, was that the block that Umera was in? Is a chance he would have been in the finals? I lost track of the blocks as well. I don't remember.
Yeah. That was his, because we got the sweet Uemura versus Tsuji match, and the Uemura, I do not remember his match against... his Finlay match was actually pretty great. It was my favourite Finlay match in the entire tournament, actually.
There you go. I'm going to keep saying his name wrong. I keep missing out one of the syllables in that name, but I'll fix it. I'll get better.
Well, thankfully, Uemura isn't the match of the week follow this week. It is... As we said, Zack Sabre Jr. and good mate Gabe over there, and man, what a match! I still am up in the air over whether my favourite match of the entire tournament was Uemura versus Takeshita, or this match with Gabe against Zack Sabre Jr. I really am quite torn on those two, but I think it is between those two as my favourite match of the tournament.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, they're both really good matches that still had a really clear story to both of them, which, like, when you're watching a lot of matches in the G1 in particular, like back to back to back, like there can be a lot of good matches, but it's the ones that have that story that sort of stand out and sort of set themselves apart from the crowd a bit.
I think you're very right, because I remember I remember Zach and Shingo being fantastic, but I could not tell you a single thing about it other than I wish you, you know, there was some sweet techers and some sweet, you know, pumping bombers going on.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point Shingo went for a sliding lariat and Zach laid back, and then Zach went for a PK and Shingo did the same, and it was probably really awesome, but... It's something you've seen a bunch before, and I think your last two matches of the week from the G1, they've had those moments in them at the very least. Like, even if you, my memory's awful, so I don't necessarily remember every part of the match, but like, there's definitely the moments in them where you're like, that is a moment that signifies the story of the match, and it was just an awesome moment on its own, which is those two things together make it a memorable match.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe I'm just a sucker for working over our arms, I guess, looking at these two as well.
Yeah. And, the one last week, where I you mentioned it during the podcast, and, like, it was the arms match. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's... Once I had the story of the match in my head, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was really good. Because otherwise it ends up being just, like, big list of names, and they were matched up in a bunch of different combinations, but, like... Once I'm like, oh yeah, that was the story of that match. That was like the big thing. A double overhook being just a crazy high spot in the match. You're like, that's pretty good.
That really is, to me, some satisfying wrestling, you know. Like, I hate to be the guy that needs a story now in a match. There's nothing more that I hate than those people on Twitter. It's like, oh, well, that was a great 5-star match, but where was the story? But, I mean, we're talking about stories that are, like, confined, you know, within the ring. Not a story about a bracelet or a weird Samoan necklace of rose thingies.
I won't have you putting down the prop-based storytelling of WWE. I enjoy it very much.
I would never could say. I think there's something that's really nice for me, like, in terms of the stories that I like, is that when it can be part of the match. And I guess when, like, I've been watching a little bit of Bret Hart stuff lately, and yeah, if you can tell, like, an actual story in the ring and get the crowd to, like, bite on that, to me, that's about as good as it gets with this pro wrestling thing.
Yeah, and especially, like, with this match, where the story is so tied up in the characters, like the actual wrestler's character, and it just works so beautifully together.
Oh,
it's like 100%. It tells the story and it tells you about the guy.
Yeah.
Or the guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, the best part about this is exactly what you're saying. Like, Gabe is a hothead, you know, bloody crazy man, and Zach is a bit more of a laid-back kind of, you know, prick in his own right, but, you know, is a bit more kind of like chill and wait for his moment kind of prick. And I thought I really remember when we were watching this live, now that I think about it, there was a bit where, I don't know if it was like you or Mitch, one of us was like, man, Zach has just taken a lot of chops and not really doing a lot about it.
Yeah, he was just getting beaten, like, and rewatching it again this afternoon, I just remembered or saw again, like, just how much he is just on the, not even on the defense, because he's not defending for a lot of it. He's just getting beaten, and, like, that's just what Gabe is doing. It's like every time Zach tries to cut him off with some submission or some techers or anything like that, it's just more big brutal chops, or occasionally like a big brutal suplex or something. To just like, no, I am the hard man in this match. You will not stop me with your British style wrestling nonsense.
It really was like, it stood out to me on the rewatch of it, like, just how much right out of the gate, Gabe was just chopping the shit out of Zach, And Zach was like egging him on, like, you know, fucking, yeah, gimme, that's all you got, come on, bring it on. And that kept going for at least like the first, felt like 10 or so minutes of this match, the bulk of this match, I would say. Like, we had flashes of Zach sort of doing stuff in between, but then it quickly returned to Gabe just chopping the shit out of Zach. And it was very, very satisfying when it finally got to that moment of when, I mean, this is flashing forward a little bit, but when we finally did work out his long game, when we did work out what Zach was up to, it was kind of like the Simpsons episode where Homer's boxing and he would just get the shit punched out of him over and over and over again until his opponent has tired out, and then he you know, pushes him down. But that was when Zach went right after those arms and really we worked out his game plan. And it happened in such a brief amount of time. I looked at the screen when I was watching it. It was like about a 6-second part of when Zach was like, took out one arm, took out the other arm, and then Gabe goes to chop me again, and then that arm don't work no more. And it was so good.
Yeah, that's sort of like, I write down a bunch of stuff that happened in the match, but there's like stars against two spots in the match where it's just like, that was so good. And that was one of them. It's like, yeah, delivering that chop after those couple of attacks on his arm, and Gabe just dropping to his knees after having like brutalized him with chops all match, and now suddenly the chop just cannot, it's like he can't do it anymore, and it's like, oh, that is so good. And the crowd was hot for that as well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Which they saw what had happened. It was so good.
That was what stood out to me, like in that split second the crowd was like, yes, that is great. Like, right, the crowd was right there with it. Like, sometimes people go for these like clever, convoluted kind of like stories through matches, and it kind of goes over the audience's head. This was just perfect.
Yeah, and you've just got a lot of stuff in the match as well. With like, Gabe got so much like shine in this match, where it's just like, Not just in the chops, like showing how brutal and strong he is, but just so much of like that character stuff as well. And he's really good at it. Like, just that drawing all the time, like talking to the camera, and then incorporating that into his moveset. And like just before the where Zach got his arm, and Gabe sits him down like cross-legged in the middle of the ring, so they can trade slaps with each other.
Oh, so good.
And they're just trading slaps until Zach's hit him too hard, so just Gabe starts biting the head. He's like, he's such a bastard. It's so good, because like that's perfect character work, but it's building into like the story of the match as well, where he's just going to get back on top of Zach by being brutal.
Yeah, I think Gabe Kidd is definitely my favorite complete shit talking bad guy in wrestling right now. Like, he can back it up with like incredible wrestling as well. Like, watching this match, I was like, man, I really love this dude's moveset, like, as a whole. Like, just the real like sort of meat and potatoes style of wrestling that he does, these big heavy-handed chops, and obviously, you know, the lariats, and I think I said it like when we were watching, a lot of his offense to me is like all very old Japan, like all very King's Road kind of style. Yeah. Which is kind of cool, like in this setting, you know, obviously New Japan, and everyone always you know, draws a lot of you know, comparisons to Zach, and you know, your Billy Robinsons and your Catch dudes, or even like to Inoki. And then here we have Zach, who's like, I mean, Gabe, who's just bringing all like the Kobashi shit. It was awesome.
Yeah, but not with that Kobashi, you know, honor super face. He's he's like the exact opposite of that, where is like, I feel like his character is, he thinks he is the hardest guy in the world. He is the toughest bastard. But he's not wrong either. And so, like, it could be a character, and like other wrestlers had characters where like they think they're the tough guy, but then once it comes down to it, and that can be an entertaining character as well, but once it comes down to it, they're very much proven not to be the tough guy. But Gabe, just like, yeah, he thinks he's a hard bastard, and yeah, he is too, as well. Like, he's not wrong.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of, like, the, you know, that hard man British kind of thing, like the Vinnie Jones kind of, like, role.
Yes.
So perfect.
Yeah, and, like, even with his, I'm not sure if it's his official nickname. It's on his ring jacket, so the madman thing. So it's like, I'm a madman, you know. And when he does that, like, because we'd been talking about how some of the other young guys, they've got these nicknames like Heatstorm and Gene Blaster. And it's like, these are such nonsense nicknames. And Madman isn't even perfect, but he owns it in a way where you're like, yeah, he thinks calling himself a madman makes him sound hard, which is perfect for his character.
Absolutely. There's so much that I think is great about this. Like, it feels like we haven't even got it fully realized yet. Like, this is going to keep, like, fleshing itself out in the best of ways in the years to come.
Yeah, for sure. Very. It's surprising when you're watching a match with Zach to just be, like, so impressed by the other guy. Because Zach's normally the guy.
I think that's something that's really good to be said about Zach as well, because even watching some of other Zach's other matches in the tournament, and especially, you know, leading on to the big finale of Zach and Tsuji, I thought it really stood out to me. You know, Zach is clearly on another level to most people. It seems like he really does a lot to try to elevate the dude that he's in there with, and like bring out the best in them. Like, I definitely thought that, you know, about the Tsuji match, but in this one, you know, really trying to like focus on the ways that Gabe is just fantastic and put a spotlight on that.
Yeah. And like that happened a bit with the way he was, sort of getting his comebacks as it went along, because like Gabe had the control for most of the match, but when Zach had his comebacks, it would be occasionally he'd be trying to do like this strike, like returning the strikes that Gabe was giving him, and that always failed for him. And so it's sort of showing that, yes, Gabe and Zach have sort of that bit of overlap where they do some hard strikes and hard hits, but Gabe's better at it. And it's just because Zach's got that bit deeper well of the submission and the techers that he was able to sort of overcome in the end.
Yeah, I mean, especially that stood out to me in the big slap exchange that we got there in the middle. Because you're right, like we had Zach sort of breaking it up between the chops of doing some different kind of stuff. Like he tried to get him in that cool like jumping guillotine on the outside that resulted in him getting that sweet nasty suplex on the mats, and then this great like slap exchange that they got, and then when you know Gabe lures him into the sitting cross legged across from one another all Shibata, and man, what such a great intense kind of moment, and you know exactly that jaw jacking Gabe that we're talking about. It's this smarmy, loudmouth prick. And then they're going at it. And then Zach starts getting the better of it eventually. And my favorite part, I think, I noticed this only on rewatch, was he got Gabe with a real good one. And Gabe just, like, went straight down. Like, it seemed like a very involuntary reaction. And then in a split second, Zach just, like, picked him up, like, oh, yep. No, we're not done yet, mate. And like keeps going for more. So good. Only for, you're right, you know, for Gabe to eventually get the better of that altercation.
Yeah. I've got it now on the screen behind me, which leads straight into German. Just Gabe doing some suplexes. Trading German stuff. I'm going to pause that. I'm getting distracted. That was it's very good.
It's such a great match. I really, I don't know, like I love a lot of British wrestling kind of stuff, and I feel like whenever I watch like any sort of current British wrestling from like Rev Pro or whatever, a lot of it just seems like the British, or like, you know, I guess that when that UK wrestling got real popular a little while back, like it seems like they were sort of almost, it's evolved into more of like just an extension of you know like American style wrestling, or like, you know, the sort of hybrid of everything, I guess.
Yeah.
just feels less distinctly British, I guess I'm trying to say. And then I watch a match like this, you know, in Japan between two of the best British wrestlers in the world, and it just felt so fucking British, and I loved it.
Yeah, and but British in their two different unique ways, like Zach's that technical British, and then Gabe, yeah, with his hard man British.
Yeah, almost like you've got Zach is more the Johnny Saint type, and Gabe is more your roughhouse, you know, Fit Finley kind of vibe, perhaps.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just going through my notes here. that moment we were saying about the bit when you know it's so quick that you know Zach gets the arm and you know basically takes both of them away from him in a split second, and then Gabe's like, well, fuck you, goes for another one, and then the moment he realizes, like, oh fuck, and sells it straight away. And then we get it again, like I noticed later in the match when I did this rewatch, when I think Zach had him in like a triangle, and Gabe is raining down with these big massive like elbows to like fight out of it, and you have a moment, yeah, where you're like, oh, maybe his arm's better, and then we quickly realize, oh no, it's very much not.
But those big forearms were on the mat, so Zach's head that is on the mat, they were brutal.
Oh yeah.
And like that's getting into like the finishing sequence of it. So there was that, and then it's got Zach almost hitting the Gotch style pile driver. Mm-hmm. And, like, just setting up for it. I'm like, yeah, I've forgotten that he didn't hit it on the rewatch. And I'm like, he's gonna do the move, and then not counted out of it, but then like a snap Zach driver almost, because it just came out of nowhere.
Oh yeah, so good.
And then Gabe's got his lariat after that, the rebound lariat. And I really like his rebound lariat, just like the chest off the ropes first. And it just, I don't know, the fact that he's tensing up his chest and like looking annoyed at the ropes as he runs into them. Just again, it's like his moveset fits him so well.
Yeah. And it's also so cool to see that sort of like rebound off the ropes into a move kind of thing, where it clearly looks like it adds to his like dynamic movement going into it, rather than sometimes you see dudes do like fancy looking things going off the ropes just to kind of look cool, but if anything it kind of takes, yeah, away from the momentum.
Yeah, yeah, no, his looks like it's, yeah, this is how we make a meaner lariat.
Yeah, that was a moment where I was like, man, this is very Stan Hansen, where it's sort of like you miss one and come for the other kind of deal. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
And then go on.
I was just going to say, and that's sort of leading right up to the end, where it's just Zach just getting behind. Like, Kid just keeps trying to, like, pick him up for stuff. I think it was a backdrop. And Zach slips behind for the sleeper. And so he gets him again and goes for the suplex. And Zach slips behind for the sleeper. And I'm just like, he's like, no, I need to stop this brutality. Because that was like not long after that massive lariat. I need to stop this brutality. I am going to tie you up now. Like, it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like getting the sleeper in with the body scissors. And like that's pretty much the last sort of 30 seconds of the match. But it was so good. That's where, like, Zach's got him all wrapped up, and Kid's just flipping off the crowd, flipping off Zach, flipping off the crowd. He's like, oh, never tap. Just like, oh, I believe you won't tap. You will not let that happen. Zach is going to either put you out or break something, but you will not tap. And again, like, even in loss, Kid just looks like a badass.
Yeah, so good. I, on rewatching it, that sort of, like, even hammered home that story further, you know, the fact that Gabe is like such a hothead, smarmy bastard that in that moment when he's like got Zach of all people on his back, he's cinching in the choke, rather than like fighting on, like, you know, tucking his chin and trying to, like, you know, do everything he can to get out of it, he's like so confident that he's like, no, nah, and does his like fuck you fucking British double bird in his one moment.
And then it goes so quickly from him being so over the top, like confident in that moment of just like, he can't get me. I'm too bloody tough for Zach. To him being like, it gets that cinched in, and he uses the arms that he like put out for the double bird to like cinch it in even deeper. And then you have that moment of like, oh, fuck.
And I mean, that was it. That was the spot for me. Like I was saying before with the Uemura Takeshita match, like it was the double overhooks was the spot in that match, which was what your art ended up being, was like the, oh, that, like a double overhook is like a massive high spot in the match. And that was like the super memorable spot in this match was Zach wrapping his arms over the double birds, just like, no, you are all mine. I do not care how defiant you are. You are wrapped up and you are not getting out of this. And like, you just see like the expression on Gabe's face go from that defiance to, oh no. And then he's out within like 10 seconds.
So good. I did want to make mention. So you did an art of this match as well. And
I did.
The moment that I was considering, and I ended up going for the more like real close up when they were on the mat. But the other one I was really considering was that moment of defiance that was Gabe's true undoing. You know, the part where he really was a victim of his own hubris. And he's got this double bird right that last moment. And I thought you did a great job of capturing that, man.
Thank you. I remember, like, after we just watched that match for the first time, I'm like, is that what the art's going to be? Because I think you suspected even, like, as soon as that match was finished, I'm like, yeah, good chance that'll be a match of the week then. And I'm like, is it going to be the double birds? Because, like, that spot was just seared into my mind immediately. But then, your art with him on the ground, I love that as well. Because, like, I feel like, I don't know, you're the artist, but I feel like with Zach, it'd be easy to like lose the form of the body just because of how much he wraps people up, like especially when he's not this finish necessarily, but like when he's got those finishes where like every limb is tied up. I'm like, how do you make art out of that? There's just limbs everywhere. And so like with this, having it that really close up and just like focusing on the faces and the expressions, like, and just Kid being completely out of it, it's a beautiful piece of work, Chris.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a little bit challenging. The other one that I was like, it was either that or there was another moment in between our two ones where, you know, the moment I'm talking about where Gabe has that look on his face of like, oh, I made a mistake here.
Yeah.
Before, like, you know, where I sort of got it where he's like clearly pretty well unconscious at that point. Yeah, I think that there's something real fun about you doing those sort of ultra close-up kind of shots. It was a bit of a challenge sort of with the different sort of like shapes and things going on and sort of like the positioning of Gabe's face. I sort of like a little sort of like artist's secret kind of thing here. Sometimes, like, you don't get everything in one kind of, like, frame exactly. Sometimes you're like, oh, that part of that frame is, like, sick, but then that this part of that, you know, another second and a half later is, like, really cool. So I sort of, like, sometimes combine little bits of both, even though that might not be 100% authentic, but I feel like that's the artist's, what do you call it? The liberties that we get to take sometimes. But like what I really loved, so you know, I think the look on Gabe's sort of like face here and like that blood that was just sort of like coming over his lips as well. I don't know whether it was from his like nose or whether he something happened to his lip on one of the slaps or something like that, but whatever it was, he had a bit of the claret going on there. But then the other thing I really loved about probably a second later that I kind of like brought back, because I think in this one you couldn't really see any of Zach's face, Whereas there was that one split second frame, but all you could see was that like that single eye of of Zach's, and there was something I thought was like super cool about that. Like you sort of don't really, you just see, obviously he's got kind of distinctive hair, but yeah, I thought it was kind of cool. I guess the, you know, one dude's eyes are like rolling back in the back of his head, and he's pretty well done, and then the other's like got that look in his eye of like, yep, I gotcha.
Yeah, no, that was sort of my note about the artwork, is you got Zach's open eye against Kid's just unconscious face, and yeah, having Zach, yeah, being able to see that Zach eye is yeah, really adds to it.
Thanks. Yeah, it definitely was a fun one. It took me, I don't know whether it was because of it being more of a close-up kind of deal or what, but yeah, it took me a bit longer to do the actual drawing part on this one, yep. I guess because of the detail and things like that. It's weird. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, if I'm doing a close-up one, it's like quicker because you don't have to worry about as many things. But I don't know. When you're closer, there's kind of like more things to worry about.
Yeah, if you miss out on that detail, then it's very obvious.
Mm. Yeah, but man, tremendous match. The second watch of it made me like it even more. I'm super excited to see more of Gabe in the future in New Japan now. Super duper excited about about boy bloody Zach winning the whole thing. My God,
that's very exciting.
Oh, would you have picked that? I mean, were you hoping for that or?
I think that would have been my hopeful pick. Like, Zach or Shingo is always would have been my hopeful pick. And yeah. I think I've sort of wanted Zach there for so long, and he hasn't had the chance that, yeah, he was the one I wanted, even if I wouldn't have necessarily thought it was him going all the way. He was who I wanted.
Yeah. And I guess it's quite full circle as well with, you know, Zach going on to face Naito for the strap at Power Struggle, that their next big Ryogoku show after. So oftentimes with the G1, obviously if you, you know, win the G1, you get the big Tokyo Dome title shot at the dude. But if you get a victory over the guy in the midst of the tournament,
yeah,
you know, you get that in between title shot, I guess. And Zach had that first match against, but very early in the tournament, might have been the first night, I can't quite remember, we watched a lot of wrestling, against Naito, which I thought was, I think, Naito's best match in the entire tournament. So I'm actually very excited for the whole idea of them wrestling again.
Yeah, I'm sort of one of the people who's like, maybe Naito needs a break. But like, if I'm going to watch him wrestle, like, against Zach is who I want to see. Like, Zach can work a style where, like, not necessarily where it's going to be a low impact, nothing match style, but he can work a style where it's not just only massive hits the whole time, which I don't think I want to see that in a Naito match anymore. Like, that's and so I'd rather the match where Zach and Naito get to be the characters they are and tell a story more than like even a Shingo match. Like, I love Shingo, but I don't know. I don't think I want to see Shingo doing big lariats on Naito. I'd be worried for his health.
Yeah. I mean, I think I got over Naito a little while back, and then watching him through this tournament, I've actually, I think I've gone the opposite of a lot of people, where I'm becoming a bigger fan of Naito again. I don't know if it's like a bit of that, what do you call it, that thing where, you know, people say one thing, so you know,
go contrarianism from you, no.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds ridiculous. But no, I was actually, I'm looking forward to seeing more Naito in like a position where he's not necessarily killing himself, like you're saying, but like Naito is actually a really great thinking man's wrestler. Like, it really stood out to me especially like seeing that that big, you know, Naito Muto retirement match. I thought Naito did a tremendous job with, you know, obviously Muto was quite limited in that one, and yet that match was so exciting from start to finish, and yet it was, you know, a lot slower pace, and but just it was very much a, you know, I guess a Muto style, like, you know, he's the wrestling genius after all. But I see a lot of that in Naito as well, so I'm really fascinated to see Naito, you know, over the next next 20 years as he gets into his old man weird phase and both of his knees are completely done, and then people are like, oh, he's going to have to retire, and then we get to see him, you know, still doing it into his 50s, and he just does more interesting, original, weird kind of stuff.
I think it's probably just a matter of his moveset is like a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it, as some of his key moves are a younger man's moveset, and sort of now that he can't do that anymore, like, yeah, be more of a thinking man's wrestler or a thinking wrestler, and use his experience and intelligence like as part of his character to be like, yeah, but I don't need to do a Destino to be able to beat you.
Yeah, or if he does, it's like, you know, when Muto would very occasionally break out the, you know, the moonsault, even after his knees were both absolutely fucked. But, you know, he invented the coolest move of the 2000s, the Shining Wizard, like only in his sort of like post broken down period, you know. I think he only like brought it in like 2000 2001, you know, at the time when a lot of people, I remember when we were seeing those flashes of Muto in WCW, and you know, he was, that hair on top was thinning, and everyone was like, oh man, Muto's so done. And then he went on to have like this whole ass next part of his career that I think was maybe the coolest part. So I'm interested to see what Naito's Shining Wizard might be.
Yeah. Yeah. Naito's Shining Wizard. Sounds like the title of a nice book or something. Like, yeah, what is his version of it?
Maybe it's just gonna be a Shining Wizard, who knows?
Sure, why not? That's a pretty good move.
That's pretty cool. All right. I think that's been a fun show, Bradley. Thank you so much for coming on board here.
Thank you for having me back again. Thank you for giving me an excuse to do some drawing. It was because of Josh on last week. Saying that he wanted to draw, and I'm like, man, I should draw. Like, even before he asked me to be on the show, I'm like, I should draw. I bet I could get on the show if I drew a picture.
Well, you were right.
Yeah, nailed it.
That's all you need to do, people. Just do a sweet drawing, and then you'll be that week's guest. That's how it works.
All right, I do need to head off really then, so thank you so much for having me on.
All right. You are welcome. Thank you very much, Bradley. You have a good evening, and we will chat to one another soon.
All right. See you later, man. Bye.
Bye. All right. What a lovely time there. I really did love Brad's art of the match. I you know, as he mentioned, he just did it. I didn't have any expectation that he was going to, and yeah, I think it's a really cool it captures the emotion of the match, which, you know, that's what I try to do. That's what I try to do with my my little old doodles that I do here with the match of the week art. Just try to like capture the emotion of the match, and I think Brad has done that in a tremendous way. The Copic markers kind of deal, really cool. I like it. I look forward to seeing again if any of y'all ever feel like doing a little doodle, even if you don't necessarily, if you want to post it, bloody post it, tag me in it, I'll share it. Or, you know, even if you're not really looking to share it with the world, but you just want to send it to me, you know, I would love to see it. So please always feel welcome that you can be doing that. I think we are just about finished up with the show here. I'd like to say a big old thank you to the team at Social Suplex for allowing me to do this cool thing, giving me the platform to do a podcast every week. It's pretty cool. I like getting to do this thing. I'm having a bit of fun with it. Socialsuplex.com. You can check out, you know, this podcast has a whole bunch of other wrestling podcasts on there that you can check out as well. You know, we've been talking a lot of New Japan lately, so, you know, keeping it strong style, I would say the preeminent New Japan podcast out there. You know, I think they've been doing it for a long time now, and they offer some very interesting insight. Big fan of the show. You know, we've got other shows like One Nation Radio, we've got Imps WWE Adventure if you want the WWE stuff, we've got the Keepin', no, All Things Elite, that's it, All Things Elite, the Trish and Sarah podcast, Tunnel Talk, all of the things, all the podcasts. That's I think I got most of them. Josh will still be disappointing me if I'm forgetting any of them. I'm trying. But yeah, I'd also like to thank you guys. You know, if you listen to a little bit of the show, if you listen to the whole show, either way, I appreciate it. I think it's super nice, the thought of anyone, yeah, spending their time to listen to me ramble on with my nonsense. You know, talk about my art, talk about wrestling, you know, it's just talking about, I think, things that we're passionate about. That's it for me at the end of the day. We're just talking about things that we really love, and hopefully, you know, you guys dig that kind of stuff too, and it's a bit of fun for you to be listening to, so, I don't know. Hope you're enjoying. Yeah, it still means a lot to me that, you know, you spend your precious time listening to these shows. You know, if you do want to support the show, you can leave a review on the iTunes. You know, you can tell a friend. You can even, you know, send me a little donation. You could buy something perhaps from christhings.com.au. A variety of wrestling art on there. We've got some original paintings. We've got fancy art prints of said matches of the week. If you like that one of Gabe and Zach and that close up that much that you want to have that enshrined on your wall in a frame, well, boy howdy, you can do that for as little as $25 dues with free shipping. But take a gander at christhings.com.au if you feel like it. You know, be follow me on the places at christhings. But yeah, whatever you feel like. You know, I know a lot of people are doing it pretty tough in today's, you know, climate. It's not like everyone is just flush with cash, so I definitely don't expect anyone to be doing anything that they're, you know, not in a position to do. If you just, you know, the people that just listen to the show and you know, like my stuff and say a nice word here or there, well, that keeps me at this too. But yeah, a sincere thank you to you. I next up, I'm recording this on Tuesday evening here in Australia, and tomorrow, I think that'll be in the past by the time this podcast goes out, but tomorrow is going to be Wrestling Club, the second ever Wrestling Club, at Brewski, our farewell to Brewski. I'm still a bit sad about that. It might be the last time I ever go through the doors of Brewski. You know, so I don't know if other people have these emotional connections to bars that I do. I don't know, is that a sign that I'm an alcoholic? I don't know. But yeah, man, Brewski, wonderful spot for the craft beer scene, for Brisbane for many years. You know, I think if you are into craft beer, you definitely would have been through the doors of Brewski at some point over the last, you know, bloody 10 years or however long it's been. But yeah, it's cool to me that, you know, at the tail end of this, you know, at least got to launch this wrestling club thing there, you know, even if it was only the first two events. But yeah, it feels appropriate. These wrestling hangs where, you know, for any of y'all that want to come along, check it out. Free night. We just vibe and watch some wrestling, have some chats, have a fun little time. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that last one. From then on forward, I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be a bit of a mystery. I think I might need to try to find a new venue for the wrestling club. It seems like people are digging it so far. So, you know, if you're all liking it, I want to keep doing it. So yeah, we'll see how we go. Interesting times ahead. Well, I think that's about it for me today. I hope you guys are enjoying this. I hope you're enjoying, if you are, you know, into the art stuff, if you do have your own stuff that's going on, I hope you're enjoying it and you're having fun. That is the most important thing, you know, for all this art and for the making and for the creating. Never forget to have fun with it. I really think that art, for me at least, is a super powerful thing when it comes to, you know, mental health, improving your mood, and just doing things that you can be proud of. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and the more time you put into it, the only good things will come, I would say. So yeah, I hope you're having fun. Never forget to have fun. Never fuss over stuff to the point where you're just worried about how it's gonna look in the end. I would prefer to have a shitty look at end product as long as I enjoyed the process, than, you know, the thing that came out the most precise or whatever. But yeah, I hope you guys are having fun with your projects, and yeah, I hope maybe there's a little bit of motivation, you know, if you've might be needing a little bit of it, to, you know, just spend a bit of time, you know, whether it's drawing, wrestling, or whatever it might be that you know, you guys enjoy doing. Yeah, keep that you know, creative energy alive. Okay, I think that's been the end of my TED talk here. I think it's time to wrap this up. I will see some of you at our next wrestling club event. I'll see some of you at Lucha Fantastica on Saturday, perhaps. And I'll see the rest of you all next week on the show. Thanks a bunch, guys. Bye.
This is an ad from BetterHelp. As kids, we were always learning and growing. But at some point as adults, we tend to lose that sense of curiosity and excitement. Therapy can help you continue that journey because your back-to-school era can come at any age. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online therapy you can do from anywhere. Rediscover possibility with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/newdirection today to get 10% off your first month.